Good morning. Good morning. This is Diane B. in New York. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. I am your moderator today. I am a recovered compulsive eater and, living in the steps one day at a time. Today is Tuesday, April 11th, 2023. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 73 in the fourth paragraph, beginning with, "We must be entirely honest," and ending with, "Who do not understand alcoholics." So we're reading one paragraph only. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Karen W. The text will be Karen L., page 164, Vision for You is Dana P. Our backup reader today is Yvonne A. Our newcomer greeter is Christina M., and announcements will be Reggie O., and thank you, everyone, for your service. Our reference numbers for yesterday, Monday, April 10th, 2023, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 20,141, so that's 20141. And this morning, Tuesday, April 11th, 2023, at the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 20,147, 20147. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. A Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So will Joanne L., will you please read the 12 steps for us?
Hi, good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L., recovered in Rhode Island, and thank you very much, Diane, for your service and everybody on the line. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we try to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Joanne. And now I'm going to ask Karen W. to read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Diane. Thank you. This is Karen W., and I am a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York, and here are the 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 12, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you all, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Karen. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions to recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 again to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted, and in order to hear everyone clearly, we ask that you do not use the speaker function on your phone. So today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 73 in the fourth paragraph, beginning with, we must be entirely honest. We are reading that one paragraph only. And Kara L., could you please get us going?
Thank you, Diane. This is Kara L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. We must be entirely honest with somebody, if we expect to live long or happily in this world. Rightly and naturally, we think well before choosing the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. Those of us belonging to religious denomination which requires confession must, and of course, will want to go to the properly appointed authority whose duty it is to receive it. Though we have no religious connection, we may still do well to talk with someone ordained by an established religion. We often find such persons quick to see and understand our problem. Of course, we sometimes encounter people who do not understand alcoholics. Good morning, my fellows. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. And, you know, this paragraph for me really speaks about the necessity of finding the right person who is able to listen with compassion, and is able to be kind, is able to be present, and I'm able to identify with. You know, when this book was published, there weren't, you know, we live in the era of great abundance. There are sponsors, there are recovered people everywhere. And somebody who has been through what I was going through. So I am truly blessed that to find someone to listen to my fifth step was not difficult. You know, in this paragraph, we're instructed, if we can't find anybody, maybe look to religion that has a culture of confession, you know, or, you know, and we're going to read on too, and it's going to talk a little bit more about this, but if I am to be truly, truly vulnerable, because that's the gate that I need to walk through to be free. If I am to trust in a power greater than myself, and by now that I've gotten to the fifth step, I have a trust in that power. That power to help me find someone. You know, hopefully by now I've been working with someone, a sponsor, who I need to trust. But it's that step for me to be vulnerable that is going to set me free. And my last fifth step that led to a huge spiritual awakening, you know, there was one secret I was holding. And thankfully, you know, I was really, really graced with the kindest, most loving soul who I didn't want to say anything. I had already told another person about it, and I thought that was enough. But in that moment, I just felt from a higher power, unburden everything. Be vulnerable. Trust in me to care for you. And when I did that, I was truly free. And it is, I'm almost speechless about having a person that listened to everything I thought was terrible about myself and who was kind and compassionate and loving and gave that back. It was truly freeing. And my higher power led me to this person, I'm sure. And I'm grateful to this day today. And it is an example for me moving forward on how I can be present for people that gift me with their fifth step. I think that's all I have to say. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you for getting us started. Excuse me. That was really great, Kara. So, let's see. We are... I'm so messed up today. I'm sorry. Okay, so although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. So I'm ready to take people's names and the initial of your last name, please, and state.
Billy B. in Ohio.
I'm sorry, somebody B. in Ohio. Who's that?
Oh, Julie B. in Ohio.
Julie, thank you. Got
yeah.
it. Julie B.
Thank you.
Maria P.
Marie P.
Maria P.
T. Maria P. Hold on. Maria P. Who's after Maria?
Agnes A. from California.
Agnes A. So Julie B., Maria P., Agnes A.
Elaine F. from California.
Elaine F. from California. I can take a couple more. I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
Sorry.
Wait. Somebody F. I was very faint.
Carolyn F.
Carolyn. All right, hold on. Carolyn F. And who's the other person?
Sorry, C.
Okay. I got sorry. Now, please, who's the other ones? You're very, very faint, and I can't hear your name.
Chrissy F.
Chrissy?
Yes.
Chrissy F, as in Frank. Okay.
Yes.
I have Julie B., Maria T., Agnes A., Elaine S., Chrissy F., Carolyn S., and Surrey S. Okay, so Julie B. should be the only one who's unmuted right now. Go ahead, Julie.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Again, Julie B. from Ohio, gratefully recovering OA. And I just wanted to say welcome to any newcomers on the line and to my fellow OAers. Just keep going. You've got this today. I absolutely love the idea of being honest with someone. That has changed my life. And it's kind of funny because a lot of the things that I think are so bad and these deep secrets are really not a big deal. And a lot of them are dishonest, even this sort of mode that we're living from. You know, we have to uncover those dishonest thoughts too. Just recently, I uncovered that I thought that my worth was tied up in my work, and I was working from that mode. And so, just uncovering that and becoming more surrendering to God's will with that has just been so miraculous in my life. So I'm having a lot more peace, a lot more worth in different areas, and I cannot speak enough to 10th stepping, which is basically, from what I'm understanding, fourth steps again and again as the day goes on. and the honesty that you have there. And I also really like that the big book mentions that, you know, finding that trusted person that you can talk to. And also, you know, for those of you who are taking these fifth steps and taking these 10 steps from others and from your sponsees or other fellows, be that safe place. You know, there's such magic in having non-judgment come whenever you're telling someone your deepest, darkest things that are on your heart. So just a reminder to be that soft place, be that understanding person. You know, what would God have you do? What would Jesus do? You know, I'm sorry for mentioning, you know, but what would your higher power do? You know, how would they react to someone who is confessing? So just keep going. You know, when we're busy, we're better. So fill your day up, you know, tell someone what you're going to do today, have accountability and keep going. You got this. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much. Next, we have Maria T. And if you could tell us where you're from, Maria.
Hi, this is Maria T. And I'm actually in Norway. Can you hear me okay?
Loud
Hello?
And clear. Loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Okay, super. I love this reading. And very appropriate. I can tell you it has been a journey. Mine, you know, I have been in OA for many, many years. And it's been a journey of finding out what's, you know, underneath all the layers once you put the food down. You know, I've relapsed a few times and struggled with honesty, actually, struggled with being honest with myself, struggled with others. Having had a history of trauma in childhood, you know, and it does affect me. And, you know, one thing that I know today that if I'm not completely honest, I heard it mentioned once by another fellow that God cannot reside where there is dishonesty. And my dishonesty can be very subtle. It can also be very, very deep. And it can be also tied in with being very afraid of being rejected or abandoned. And I'm very blessed with a sponsor today who is very loving and very supportive. And, you know, for me, the most important thing is building up that trust in that person. Having been fired many, many times by sponsors because they thought that I didn't have the desire to stop compulsively eating, which was absolutely not true. You know, I always had the desire. It was just some deep level. There was that deep, deep wound that I needed to, I was too scared to actually face. And today I'm able to now start and allow myself to face that deep wound because I have the loving kindness and compassion of a sponsor who I really, really trust in a very deep way. Something that came up very strongly was I had some dishonesty around around money and financial insecurity, and it was very, very deep. And it just kept coming up all the time, and kept doing step 10 on it. And now today, you know, I've made an appointment to see the person that's in question, and I'm just sharing my step 10 around the fear of it. So, you know, for me today, it has to be number one. I have to keep working towards that honesty and honesty with myself through step 10s, honesty with my sponsor, you know, authenticity, accountability, and building up that relationship, you know, with my higher power and that connection, which comes through, you know, that honesty and sharing my step 10s. So thank you for letting me share. Thank you.
Thanks, Maria. Next, we have Agnes A. from California, who will be followed by Elaine S. from California. Agnes?
Hi. Good morning. Thank you for all the service and all the pitches this morning, getting right to it. I just wanted to share that the first time I did a fourth step, fifth step, and gave it away, you know, before then I had just always done 1, 2, and 3. You know, it was all about the food and the vanity, you know. And as I mature in the program, the next step was to do that dreaded 4th step and 5th step and give it away. At the time, I wasn't even a practicing Catholic, but it just felt right to make an appointment with a priest and just, like, do a full confession of my life, you know. And it was a wonderful thing to do because I ended up being, I felt cleansed. It wasn't like sin today, confess tomorrow, go back and sin. It was more like, this is me, this is where I've been. And to get that absolution, which in the program we call unconditional acceptance, you know, was just quite a cleansing. And and then I go on in the program and I realize the importance of spirituality and the steps, each step. You know, it's not a la carte. It's not I do 1, 2, 3, but I skip 4, 5, 8, and 9. You know, so I'm more teachable, thank goodness, you know. And so my inventory was given away to a sponsor that was just totally God-sent, right? And, just to have somebody listen to your innermost secrets, right? They say another reason we eat is because of that secret that we refuse to share. I didn't realize the shame that I had with it. But just to give it away to somebody who just listened and never criticized and worked with me and is working with me to find the goodness in the maladaptive coping mechanisms that I've used in the past is a wonderful relationship. It's a trusting relationship. And the biggest thing, I know there are promises there. People who know the big book better than me know what they are. But for me, it has been the ability to look in the mirror, warts and all, and say to myself, you're not half bad, kid, you know, and just bring all that shame to the sunlight. And still, if somebody else can love me unconditionally, including my sponsor and God, then surely I can love myself and start being nice to myself. So that's my experience. Thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Agnes. Elaine S. from California, you're up next. Followed by Chrissy
S. Thank you. This is Elaine S. from Southern California, from Santa Barbara. And boy, what an incredible meeting this is. It is just exactly what I need to hear this morning. And I was thinking, what could I add to these wonderful shares? And I think it's that when I share my 5th step, when I share my 10th step, when I get honest, and for me, the honesty has always been to tell my sponsor when my, when I've gotten into the food or into the behaviors. The behaviors for me are the hardest. Eating extra vegetables after dinner, which is, you know, which I can't do. It just leads me to everything else that I, you know, things that I can't eat. And so what happens when I share this is, the chatter is gone. Until then, this chatter in my head, do I tell my sponsor, do I not tell my sponsor, this, it's continual chatter. There is no peace. And it's, I don't even worry about gaining weight. It's not even about that. It's about clearing my head and being at peace. Because when I'm hearing that chatter, I am not in the moment. I am not available to anyone. I am just dealing with the chatter. And so once I clear that, whether it's, you know, doing a 5th step or a 10th step, which includes, you know, 4 through 9, I get that clarity and I can be present and I can be loving and I'm not going to be impatient and snap at my husband or whatever. So thank you so much for letting me share. With that, I pass.
Thanks, Elaine. Next, we have Chrissy S. And if you could tell us where you're from, please.
Hi, this is Chrissy M., grateful, recovering, bulimic, and anorexic from Oregon. And I really appreciate this reading and everybody who did service today. I was actually just reflecting on this week about, I think what stood out for me was just this topic of honesty. And for me, my eating disorder was this horrible secret I was carrying around with me. You know, you couldn't see it on the outside, but it was this huge source of shame. And I know what I realized about my own recovery is, like, I'm only as sick as my secrets. And anytime I keep a secret about my eating or my food, like, I know that's my step. That's, like, a huge step towards relapse. And I can't keep any little secret. So if I have, like, one extra of something, or I have, you know, an extra snack that's not on my food plan, or I eat extra, if I don't tell my sponsor, like, that to me is like the first step of me going in the direction of my illness. And I think also this idea of honesty with the reading talked about is like having the right person. And sometimes some of us may have been honest or shared certain things of ourselves and weren't accepted for that. And it was very liberating to be somewhere where I could be completely honest about, you know, what I was struggling with and my illness and not be judged and be accepted, but also not be like, not be permissible. Like, I need accountability. You know, it's not honesty for the sake of somebody feeling sorry for me or somebody pitying me. You know, my sponsor also holds me accountable when I'm honest of like, hey, that's not okay. And I need that. I need the, you know, acceptance, but I also need the accountability. And that's another important thing that has come with honesty with my sponsor for me. And so, you know, that 10 step gives us an ability every single day to be honest with ourselves and others. And the other piece I like about the fourth and fifth step is it's not just being honest about your mistakes. It's also, you know, they have you list out your strengths. Because part of, you know, my disease is I can be very just as I can be judgmental towards others, I can be very hard on myself. And part of the work is also to list, like, your assets and to see, you know, like, I'm not all bad. I'm not all diseased. You know, I have these character defects, but I bring a lot to the table. And to be able to acknowledge your strengths and your assets as well as your defects. And that's really empowering to me in any situation is, you know, I know who I am. You know, when I mess up, I'm like, yep, there's that character defect. And,
gentle,
you know,
reminder.
I'm human and I thank you. I'll wrap up. And, but I'm also, I bring good things to the table too. And I can be honest about that. So with that, I'll wrap up. Thank you.
Thanks, Chrissy. And before we go on, I just want to remind everybody that we are on page 73. We're in the fourth paragraph, beginning with, we must be entirely honest, ending with, who do not understand alcoholics. We're reading that one paragraph only. So Carolyn S., you're up, followed by Suri S.
Hi, this is Carolyn. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, good. I'm Carolyn, a compulsive overeater, recovered for today in New York. But yeah, this paragraph was, there's a lot in it, even though I hadn't underlined a lot in the past. This one sentence especially strikes me. We must be entirely honest with someone if we expect to live long or happily in this world. And that is incredibly true. I want to live a happy, joyous, and free life. But I can't do that if I have skeletons in my closet that I'm, you know, putting on blinders not to see. And, you know, I've had many sponsors. I'm in program 20 years. And I've always thought I'm being completely honest with them. But, you know, I didn't know what I didn't know, that it has to be deeper. And, I've learned something from every fourth step I've done, and I've done quite a bit at this point. But I have to constantly be looking at my behavior and, you know, things that are big and small that I know don't serve me and that God doesn't want for me. You know, an example would be changing my fruit from an orange to an apple or vice versa. And, you know, I report it, but it's not like I had to have that. I could have had the apple. So, you know, that's a small thing. But then, like, I've got a major regret toward an old friend who, you know, we haven't been close in years, but she reached out. First, I had to send her, you know, a letter because I owed her an amends, and then she responded, and we talked for a while, and then some time passed because I really didn't want to renew this friendship. It was not a good one for me or for her, especially for me anyway, I know. And she reached out, and I don't know why I did this, but I sent a reply without checking anything out with my sponsor or God even. You know, she had said, you know, maybe, you know, the oldest friends are the best friends. And, you know, I don't know if this is a good time. And I could so easily, and I wish now that I had done, even though we don't regret the past, I should have just said, you know, this isn't a good time for me, because she said, if it's a good time. Instead, I told her honestly that I didn't think, you know, being in touch with her was good for me, which was like, what the heck was I thinking? I mean, it was very hurtful, and that's how she replied. And it's been that way now for a long time. And I have done step 10s around it, but it's not going away. So I have to find out what God wants from me. I know I can't reach her directly. I can write a letter and never mail it. But what I can't do is ignore it. So for today, I'm trying very hard to be honest with myself, with God, and my fellows, so that I can be of service and I can live happy, joyous, and free. Thank you.
Thank you, Carolyn S. in New York. Next, we have Surrey S. If you could tell us your state, please, Surrey.
Hi, sorry. This is Surrey C. from Connecticut. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so... I wanted to share the earlier meeting, and I did not get a chance. And it's funny because I actually was given a chance, almost, because I was given an opportunity to almost respond to a question. And it reminded me of a situation that happened earlier on in my when I first started sharing years ago. Where somebody called me afterwards and said, can I please share a 10 step with you? And I said to her, what's a 10 step? I'm only 3 days abstinent. I've been working this program for years, and I've only been abstinent for 3 days once prior. So I'm working to surrender and not be in fear. And I have my personal program has evolved, and honesty has evolved. And I've heard, you know, one of the things that terrified me at the start was we can, you know, everybody's capable of recovering except those that are constitutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. And here we are saying that we require honesty. We must be entirely honest. So constitutionally incapable, and I must be entirely honest. And I've also heard on the line people share, well, I thought I was recovered a year ago, but I'm sharing from where I am right now, and I am recovered today, but I was not recovered then when I said I was recovered. And recovery is a subjective statement. I think the question really for me is, am I being honest with my innermost self, the extent to which I can access my innermost self? And what's beautiful about this program in the 12 steps is that it's a program that helps me with a fellowship, with a sponsor and hopefully a sponsee, and with service to access my innermost self, so that I can concede to my innermost self my powerlessness, so that I can access that. And I wanted to just be mindful here that one of the words that, you know, after reading the paragraph a number of times really caught my eye was, we think well before choosing the person or persons with whom to take this intimate and confidential step. And really the word intimate there is, you know, they chose everything very carefully. And there are a lot of women that choose only to sponsor women, men that choose only to sponsor men. And even though there are times where you think that it would be helpful to have it be another way, there is a certain level of intimacy. There is a certain level of trust. And
gentle reminder.
I thank you for the gentle reminder. I will wrap up by saying that trust is the key. And the trust that I'm placing and that I hope and encourage all to place is in our higher power. And with that, I pass.
Thank you, Suri. Although we value your experience, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. And we can take two more people. If you want to share, star one to unmute.
Donna D.
Okay, Donna. And who was after Donna?
Christ in Washington.
Christ?
Yeah, K-R-I-S-T.
Oh, Christ. Okay, great. Donna, you're up. If you can give us the initial of your last name and your state, please.
Hi, good morning. This is Donna B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic calling from Denver. I am so thrilled to be on the phone live with all of you. It's been a really, really long time. I've been listening to the recordings. I have had multiple surgeries over the last month. And the good news is I'm healing from the foot surgery and I'm healing. I don't have cancer. I do have a wound on my breast from an infection that will take 1 to 2 months to heal, which is really, really sobering and discouraging. And part of my story is exercise bulimia. And with all of these surgeries and health conditions, I asked the doctors, when can I do this? When can I do that? When can I do this? And the response is to be basically guided by my own pain threshold, to be guided by my own, sort of listening to my body. And I used to have, absolutely zero idea what that meant. I was not capable of listening to my body. My disease was this huge barricade between my ability to listen and my obsession to do more and more and more. And on this topic of honesty, I've been abstinent and recovered for a number of years now, and that gives me the opportunity to be honest with myself, to be able to say, it really makes sense to just sit on the sofa for another day. And it also gives me the opportunity to be honest with my sponsor, to be able to say, this is really hard for me. There is a perpetual voice in my head that's telling me, you're not enough, you're not enough, you're not enough, you're not doing enough, you're not doing enough, you have to do more. And so it's this constant exercise of asking God to redirect my thinking, being honest with my fellows about that critical voice that I'm struggling with so that I can honor the quiet voice inside of me that's reminding me to be restful, to be patient. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna. Chris, you're up. If you could give us the initial of your last name.
Okay. Good morning. This is Chris, S as in Sam, in Washington. And it's just really good to be here this morning. I want to thank everyone for their service and the reading and the share. I've done fourth and fifth steps before. And something that has always been intriguing and And a part of my disease is how I can carry a resentment over and over and over again. And in this last time I did my fourth and fifth step, it's like, you know, what is the real resentment? What is the real thing I'm angry about here? And it's like it just takes time to peel some of that hurt and betrayal and my own sense of what is right or wrong away. And so the honesty, which is part of every single step, is just amazing, you know, getting to the honesty, the core of whatever is bothering me. I can go to self-pity so fast and sit there and stay there for a long time, decorate the room, bring in hostages, bring in pictures and furniture, the whole business. I'm so grateful for this program and the sponsors. I've had several over the years, and for the sponsors who have just, guided me through my own thinking, through my own dishonesty to get to honesty. Today I'm recovered, and I am so grateful for that. And for the people who have taken my fifth step, my fourth step, who have taken my 10th steps, the outreach calls that I receive and the outreach calls I make, it keeps me honest. It keeps me accountable. It keeps me, and what I love about that page 133 is that God does want me to be happy, joyous, and free. And rather than making my own misery, stay in the light of my higher power, stay in the light of my God. Blessings to you all. And with that, I pass.
Thank you. For one, maybe two more people. If you'd like to give me your name. Anybody want to jump in? We have time for two.
Lindsay G., North Carolina.
Okay, Lindsay G. Anybody else?
Kim O. from Alabama.
Thank you, Kim O. Ooh, the South is definitely well represented. Okay, Lindsay G., North Carolina, you're up.
Hello, everyone. My name is Lindsay G. I am a compulsive overeater, really grateful to be here. This is my first time sharing on this meeting, so I'm a little nervous. I like the first line, we must be entirely honest with somebody if we expect to live long or happily in this world. I'm back after relapse. I have 3 weeks abstinent today, and I'm working with a sponsor, and I just got the instructions for doing my step four. And I've done a step four and a step five in the past, and of course, I wasn't completely honest. I was just too in the fear and didn't take the suggestions of him being, I was not entirely willing to be honest with myself, God, and another human being. I wrote things down, so I was honest with myself and God, but I could not bring myself to sharing it with another person. And I think that really was one of the many things that I did not get the first time. I mean, I screwed up on step one. So really, you know, everything after that was just like, it was a surprise I even got through how far I did before I went back out. But this idea of needing to do it if I want to live long, that just reminds me of the fatality of the disease that I have, compulsive eating. Like, what I have is progressive, and I have seen it, direct evidence to me, get worse over the years. What I have is incurable. I am powerless over it, and there's no surgery, pill, therapy I can do that's going to make me not react to the way that I react to certain foods and eating behaviors. I have truly an allergy of the body and obsession of the mind, like it talks about in a doctor's opinion. And what I have is fatal, and I mean, I'm 34 years old, and I'm worried about things that no 30-year-old should be worrying about as far as my health. And I am in constant fear of, you know, this is the year I go to the doctor and I have X wrong with me or Y wrong with me. And things directly corresponded to the way my body is right now. And I have really coming to terms with, through doing step one, just how unmanageable my life has been. So, of course, the fear doesn't just go away. So as I'm like thinking about doing my fourth step, I'm already the fear and anxiety of having to be honest. And the fifth is coming back. And I just have to pray for that willingness. I have to pray for that willingness. That's all I can do is turn it over and ask my higher power to give me the strength, because I want this and I have to be willing. I have to be honest and I have to be open-minded. And rationally, I know what I've done is not worse than anything else anyone's ever done. And if there is a name for it, it's already been done. But somehow I just fear of judgment and of people rejecting me and of isolation and being alone really paralyzed me. So I appreciate this reminder and this read, and I'll go ahead and pass with that. Thank you.
Whoops, I was still muted. Thank you, Lindsay. Kim from Alabama, you're up.
Hi, thank you. This is Kim from Alabama, and I'm grateful, member of OA, to be here today. When I read that we must be entirely honest and honest with someone, I think about being honest with the foods that I'm eating, honest with identifying when something I thought was safe food maybe is not. Being honest when I'm thinking about wanting to take that first bite, when I'm thinking about that, you know, that urge, when I'm feeling restless and irritable and discontent, just being able to be honest about that, and the importance of that in my life, as someone that's always felt like I had to wear masks, like if I show who I honestly am, if I share that with anyone, it wouldn't be okay. And I would feel exposed and recognize that I've let people down or I'm not good enough. And whether that's with the food or other things in my life, I know that food is but a symptom, but I do also know that food for me and what I put in my body and how I eat is life or death. So I do have to choose someone or pray that my higher power brings someone that I can work the steps with, that I can confidentially and safely share everything that will keep me sober. And that means everything. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for this meeting. Grateful for the opportunity to be able to share and say I'm here another day. Thanks, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Kim O from Alabama, and thank you to everyone who did service and shared today. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And let's see, Dana P., will you please read for us A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Yes, absolutely, would be my pleasure. Dana P. in California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.